is Isaiah's prophecy, and we just kind of go through those, you know, labels, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. But it's really been good for me to stop and think about each one, you know, for each individual message. And there's just such a richness and such a beauty, really, truly, in the titles that are given. And what a blessing it is how each one, you know, reveals the love that God has for us, and really what the whole incarnation and God's salvation plan, really, the different titles that are given really help us to see exactly what God's purpose and plan was in doing that. And so let's look again at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And as we read, let's go through the titles slowly and just kind of let each one kind of sink in to, this morning. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this morning we're going to look at, and his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. You know, what a beautiful description that is, and what comfort it brings, knowing that God not only is our Creator, not only is He our Judge, not only is He righteous and holy, but that He desires to be our Father. Many of you know the house that I rent from Mr. and Ms. Gopi, and Brother Gopi passed away earlier this year, and Ms. Gopi was down. She had come down for the anniversary service that Brother Johann Blackman was having down at his church. But I ended up taking her to the airport this morning, and as we were going to the airport, we were talking about different things, and we got on the topic of Alzheimer's, and she was telling me about the man who is the principal of the Christian school that she and Joy and Judy work at. The principal, his father, has Alzheimer's. And the Alzheimer's is so bad, it's so advanced, the principal, his father's Alzheimer's is so advanced, that the man doesn't even recognize his wife. And he doesn't recognize the principal, who is his son. And he was sharing with Miss Gopi how difficult that was. And he told Miss Gopi this. He said, "I would give anything to hear my father call my name and to speak to me as a son again." You know, when she said that to me this morning, it really kind of impressed upon me how important that father-child relationship is. You know, perhaps those of us who have dads who have been in our life and supported us, we may be tempted to take that for granted. But even as this man realized when his father got Alzheimer's, he realized how precious it was just simply to have a father who would call his name and to speak to him as a son. And you know, I want you to think this morning of how precious that title is, how wonderful, how just intimate it is that God chooses to speak of the Messiah as an everlasting Father. And as we explore this idea this morning, I would submit to you that you must allow this Messiah, you must allow Him to be your everlasting Father. Now, the word that is used there in Isaiah 9:6 for Father, it's a very interesting word. It's Ab, and it really gets its sound from the sound that a child will make as it speaks to its parents. Have you ever seen a baby go ba 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 and say things like that? The word is actually Ab in Hebrew, and it comes from that sound that a baby would make. And then, of course, you may be familiar with the Greek term that we see in the New Testament, especially in that passage in Romans 8:15, where it speaks of us calling God Abba, Father. It's a beautiful word, Abba. It's interesting to note that in the New Testament times, the word Abba, the Greek form that is borrowed from the Hebrew ab, that slaves were not allowed to address the head of the family with that title. Only children could address the father in that way. Only would a child, either by birth or adoption, be able to speak of the head of the family and speak of that person as Abba. And that is exactly what God invites us to do this morning. That is what the Messiah came to be for you and for me, to be an everlasting Father to us. And you know, as I thought about really what the word Father means and all that it means for you and I today, I came up with three things that I believe really define what a father is, and I think it shows us exactly what the Messiah came to do as our everlasting Father. The first thing I want you to think about this morning as we think about Jesus being our everlasting Father, a Father gives life. And you can hold your place in Isaiah if you like, and turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, that passage that I was speaking of that uses the word Abba, Abba Father. And it says, start in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." A father must have children. Now, until a few years ago, I was not a father. But I remember that wonderful day when I joined the elite ranks of men who can claim the title of father. And really, it was one of the most precious moments of my life, standing in that delivery room. And I'm sure that Andy, this moment is fresh in his mind. But I remember standing in that room, and even Brother Andy and I were talking about this the other day. And you know, you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and suddenly there's a new life in the room. Suddenly there's a baby in the room, and you know, the hospital staff, they went into action and they were turning the baby upside down and putting drops in her eyes and cleaning her off. And I'll never forget that nurse took care of and put her over on this little tray. Had a warming light on it, and I promise you it looks just like the thing they warmed the chicken with over at KFC. And there she was sitting on that thing, and the nurse was behind her and she was cleaning her off and everything. And I was looking at her, and her little eyes were looking right at me. And it was like everything was moving around me, but it was like that moment was just frozen in time. And I was just trying to take in all the awe that I am this child's father. And I'll never forget, that nurse looked at me. She said something so precious. She said, "You can touch her, you know. She's yours." And that was a beautiful thing. She's yours. You know, on that day, I became a father. Now, you know, I knew before then that God looks at us as His children when we've come and received His gift of salvation. I had experienced the relationship as a son who had loving parents who took care of me. But on that day, that relationship and that understanding of God as a father changed for me. Forever. Because for me to think that God loves me like I love Kara, that changed my idea about God and changed really my whole outlook on life. You know, a father gives life. A father must have children. And what is so beautiful this morning is that God wants you to be His child. He wants to give you life so that you can indeed cry, Abba, Father, so that He can be that everlasting Father to you. What a wonderful thing to realize that we can become the children of God. I love the passage in John chapter 1, verse 12. Probably many of you could recite it this morning. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's how we receive that adoption and become the children of God. It's by receiving God's gift of salvation, believing that He came to die for our sins. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Listen to this beautiful passage. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." A Father gives life. And Jesus came to be our everlasting Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A father must have children. Until I had Kara, I was not a father. A father must have children, and a father gives life. I came across a news article as I was researching for this message, and it's from way back in 1938, from a newspaper called the Evening Independent, a newspaper in St. Petersburg, Florida. It was interesting to look at this old newspaper and to see that Henry Ford had just met with the president, and he didn't think there was going to be a war developing and things like that. And of course, we know today that Mr. Ford's predictions were wrong. But in that same paper, as all those things were going on and the world was on the brink of war, I came across this story. Listen to this. It happened in Tappahannock, Virginia, April 28, 1938. P.D. Kelly, 41 years old, sacrificed his life so his only son, Donald, 16, might live today. His broken ankle was encased in a plaster cast. So get this in your mind. The father, his ankle already broken, his foot in a cast. Kelly disregarded it. He plunged into the Rappahannock River and held his exhausted boy's head above water, his own submerged until a rowboat came. The boy's fishing line was tangled in the father's clothing, so the searchers were unable to find the body of the father, 10 feet in water, a short while after. "He must have known," said the boy, "at the last, that he couldn't save me and save himself too. He pushed me up and then went under." This article goes on. It says, "They were fishing from Ware's Wharf with three friends when the youth's line broke and drifted downstream. Donald, the 16-year-old boy, swam after it and reached some poles in the water about 300 feet out. He started to swim back, but the current was too strong. The three friends went for a boat. Donald tried again and again, and then he started going down. His dad, who had expected to have the cast removed from his leg today, April 28th, the day that the article was written, jumped into the water." The headline of that story was simply this: "Father gives life to save child from river." You know, in the same way, not only does a father give life to a child, and that's what makes him a father, but our everlasting Father gave His life on the cross so that we could be born into His family. The Messiah came so that He could go to the cross, die for the sin of the world. This morning, I hope that you've received Him as your everlasting Father. A Father, indeed, this morning, gives life. Not only does a Father give life, but a Father gives love. Turn to Luke chapter 15. I love this story. It is so beautiful. And the more I read it, the more beautiful it becomes. Luke chapter 15, let's look at verse 11. Jesus telling the story. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You notice he doesn't finish that little rehearsed speech there. Because in verse 22, But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." You know, not only does a father give life, but a father gives love. And I love the story that Jesus tells of the prodigal son. Probably nowhere else in the Word of God illustrates more powerfully just how much God the Father loves you and me. And a while back I did a sermon series, some of you may remember that, on Luke chapter 15. Tremendous book that I read by John MacArthur, A Tale of Two Sons. In that book he made this comment about the father running. He says, "Noblemen in that culture did not run. Running was for little boys and servants. Grown men did not run, especially men of dignity and importance. They walked magisterially with a slow gait and deliberate steps. But Jesus says his father ran. He did not send a servant or a messenger ahead to intercept his son. He himself ran." The text uses a word that speaks of sprinting as if he were in an athletic competition. The father gathered up the hem of his robe and took off in a most undignified manner. Why? Because he loved that son. And my friend, this morning, God loves you. And if you haven't accepted his gift of salvation, he is waiting at the windows of heaven, waiting for you to just make the motion so that he can run and embrace you and hug and kiss you just like the father in the story of the prodigal son. Listen to this modern day story. I think it illustrates God's love toward us. Longing to leave her poor Brazilian neighborhood, Christina wanted to see the world. Discontent with a home having only a pallet on the floor and a wash basin and a wood-burning stove, she dreamed of a better life in the city. One morning she slipped away, breaking her mother's heart. Knowing what life on the streets would look like for her young, attractive daughter, Maria hurriedly packed to go find her. On her way to the bus stop, she entered a drugstore to get one last thing, pictures. She sat in the photograph booth, closed the curtains, and spent all the money she could on pictures of herself. And you understand the story? This girl, fed up with being at home, decides she wants to go out and see the world, leaves her mother breaking her heart, and her mom goes to find her. She stops by a drugstore to get a printout of these black and white photos as she goes. With her purse full of those small photos, She boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew Christina had no way of earning money. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. When pride meets hunger, a human will do things that before were unthinkable. Knowing this, Maria, the mother, began her search. Bars, hotels, nightclubs, any place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to them all, and at each place, she left her picture taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked on a hotel bulletin board, fastened to the corner of a phone booth. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before her money and pictures ran out, and Maria had to go home. The weary mother wept as the bus began its long journey back to her small village. It was a few weeks later, young Christina descended the hotel stairs, her young face tired, her brown eyes no longer dancing with youth, instead replaced by pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade these countless beds for that little pallet in her secure home. Yet the little village was in too many ways too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again. There on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned, her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. And written on the back was this compelling invitation. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. I still love you. And you know, maybe this morning, maybe you've gone further than you ever thought you would go. Maybe this morning as you sit here, yes, you're in church, but you're far from God. Maybe you're defeated, and maybe you're wondering, can God still love me? Maybe you feel like you've messed up in a way that God would never want you back. But I want to tell you this morning, whatever you have done, whatever you have become, He still loves you, and you can come home. He will run to you this morning. A father not only gives life, a father gives love. And then lastly this morning, a father gives gifts. A father gives gifts. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, let's begin in verse 7. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, our Heavenly Father, our everlasting Father, desires to meet our needs. And you know, He desires to go even further than that. The psalmist says that He wants to give us the desires of our heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. God wants to provide for us. He wants to give good gifts. And you know, that's indeed what a father does. Turn over to James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." A young man was getting ready to graduate from college. For many months, he had had his eye on a beautiful sports car at a dealership in town. He knew his father was wealthy. And he knew his father could afford that sports car with no problem. He told his dad that's what he wanted for graduation, that sports car. Well, as graduation day approached, the young man awaited for signs that the father had purchased the car, but he found none. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. He told the boy how proud he was to have such a fine son. He told him how much he loved him. And then he handed him a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious and somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold on the front. He was angry. He raised his voice and he said to his father, "With all your money, you give me a Bible?" And he stormed out of the house. Many years passed. The young man was successful in business. He made plenty of money. He had a beautiful home, wonderful family, but he realized his father was getting old and thought that perhaps he should go and visit his father. He had not seen him since that graduation day. But before he could make the necessary arrangements and clear his schedule and get the time, he received a telegram stating that his father had passed away. He went to the house to take care of the possessions. Incidentally, the father had willed everything to the boy. When he arrived at his father's house, suddenly sadness and regret filled the young man's heart. He began to search through the house, looking through the important papers. And then he saw that still new Bible that had been given to him at graduation, the one he had left years ago. With tears, he opened that Bible and began to turn the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7, verse 11. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And as he read those words, a key dropped from the back of the Bible. And on that key was a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer that had had that sports car that the young man had desired. And on the tag was the date of the young man's graduation, and this stamped on it, "Paid in full." You know, our everlasting Father, He wants to give us the things that we have need of. He even wants to give us the things that our heart desires. But just as the psalmist declares, we must come to Him. We must delight ourselves in the Lord. It's then that He will give us the desires of our heart. And what is beautiful is that when our delight is the Lord, then all of our desires are the right kind of desires. And God can grant those. Haddon Robinson, who is a famous preacher, gives this illustration. He says, "When our children were small, we played a game. I take some coins in my fist and close them. He says, they would sit on my lap and they would work to get my fingers open. He says, according to the international rules of finger opening, once the finger was open, it could not be closed. They would work at it and they would press and pry until finally they got the pennies out of my hand. They would jump down and run away, filled with glee and delight. Just kids, just a game," he says. But sometimes when we come to God, we come for the pennies in His hand. "Lord, I need a passing grade. Help me study. Lord, I need this job. Lord, I need these clothes. Lord, I need this. Lord, my mother's ill." He says we reach for pennies. And when God grants the request, we push the hand away. But listen to what he says here. "More important than pennies in God's hand is the hand of God himself." That's what prayer is about. When you go to God in prayer, the name that should come easily to your lips is Father. That is why God put His salvation plan into action. That was the plan all the way back to Isaiah when He penned those words, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And this morning He wants to be your Father. You must allow Him to be your Everlasting Father. A Father gives life. A Father gives love. A Father gives gifts. I want to show you a video in closing this morning. And I trust you'll let it speak to your heart and you'll think about how God loves you and how He desires to be a Father to you.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad. Almighty God.
You know, everything that was said in that video, all those ideas come right from the Word of God. That is really how God feels about you. I hope you understand this morning He loves you and He wants to have that father-child relationship with you. He wants to be your everlasting Father.